And we're back at the Seaplane Base, and it is a beautiful Saturday afternoon out here at the Oshkosh Seaplane Base. You can get out here by taking a bus. There is a bus from the main grounds, and for a very small charge, you can hop on that bus and head on out here. Little walk through nature from the bus drop-off to the grounds here, and right here on the lakefront, they have a harbor, and then you also have another area that's on the lake. So it's just a beautiful situation out here, and make an effort to get out here if you can. Sir, I didn't catch your name.
You didn't catch my name. It's Alex Whitmore.
Alex Whitmore. And Paul set us up to talk to you. What are you going to describe for us?
Well, Paul wanted me to just talk about the seaplane base and the fact that we've been coming here for a number of years in several different kinds of seaplanes. And we just love this place. It's a wonderful place to camp. It's a wonderful place to spend a shady afternoon on a really hot day. And, you know, you can get in the water if you want to. You can go on the boats and look at all the airplanes. There's lots to do out here. It's worth the trip.
And how long have you been coming?
Well, I think our first trip to Oshkosh was probably back in 1973. And then there were some years in between that we didn't come. But I probably in the last 30 years, we've been coming pretty regularly.
30 years?
Yeah.
That's pretty significant. Right here to the seaplane base, or a mix of both the main
Well, we always come to Oshkosh. I mean, we've always come to Oshkosh, but the seaplane base part of it, it was about 30 years ago when we first started coming. We had a little kit fox on floats.
Okay.
And we made the trip up here, pulling it on a trailer. We had a come along where we could put it in on a tree and lift it up and put it back on wheels. And we flew it at a couple of fly-ins on the way up, and then we put it back on the floats, and we hauled up to the boat ramp just south of here and launched it and flew it in. And everybody said, well, where are you from? And we said, Texas. And they went, really? You flew that all the way from Texas? I said, mm-hmm.
So what have you got now?
Well, I just purchased a used Sea Ray, but we also have a Cessna 180 that goes on floats and a Cub that goes on floats up in this area almost every summer.
That's a nice collection.
Yeah. Well, you might say we're committed.
Yeah. So tell me something. What is your favorite aspect, from your point of view, of the seaplane base?
I just think it's a friendly nature. Everybody's so accommodating here. They really are here to help you, you know, with almost any kind of issue that you have. They really know how to take care of the airplanes, how to handle them, how to get you launched, how to keep you safe.
Because it is a completely different operation over here from over at the main grounds. It's
definitely a completely different operation. I mean, over at the field, when you want to depart, you've got certain windows during the day that you have to meet, and then there's usually a big line. If you've got an airplane that tends to overheat on the ground.
Like a 195?
It can be a real issue. And it's always a lot of work just getting in and out, get it out of your parking spot and, you know, so on. Here, they just come get your airplane, pull it up to the dock, help get loaded, and hold on to it while you start, and off you go. So it's real easy.
That's awesome. So what airplane did you bring this year?
Well, we didn't. Actually, we just bought this Sea Ray, and it's over in Chautauqua on the other side of the state. But since we stay off the field, we really need a transportation, and so we generally fly our airplanes to Chautauqua and then drive over here for the week.
Uh-huh. And there's actually a couple of Sea Rays here, I think.
Yeah, I believe there's one is their demo model. They've been giving rides out here, and I think there may be another one out there on the mooring.
So tell me something about the process of flying your straight float airplane from somewhere afar all the way here to the seaplane base.
It can be a challenge, especially if you have an airplane like my 185, my 180, which has a 100 octane only, so you can't just put boat gas in it. When we flew it up here the first time, we actually had to take it off on the grass on straight floats, and then we flew over to the lake that's next to us, and we loaded it over there, and we had full of fuel, plus We had 30 gallons in the floats. And we were able to make it all the way up here on that fuel load.
You know, that's something that I don't think that I was aware of, was that you could actually use compartments in a float as a fuel tank.
Well, there you don't use them as a fuel tank. You use them as a storage for fuel cans.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, so, in other words, there's a hatch, and you can put, like we had a specially sized 6-gallon container set with fit. We could fit 3 in each float. So that was 30 gallons, or a little more than 30 gallons.
So then you're gonna make a landing on a lake somewhere, and it's going to be 100-octane fuel, so you don't need to worry about finding,
right.
You know, going.
You just stand there, and on our particular airplane, we have an aux tank on the belly, so we can actually fuel the aux tank just standing on the float, not have to climb up on the wing and then pump that up into the wings.
Well, that's pretty convenient.
It is.
So planning that kind of a trip is a little different than if you're flying a land plane.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you've got to be concerned about your water conditions. So that's a condition that obviously people bring in a land plane to Oshkosh. They have to worry about weather and wind,
yep.
Of course. But
we have to worry about all that stuff. But water conditions, generally, unless you have a big round lake like this where there's really no, there's not very many places to get in the lee side of the wind. But usually, flying over lakes in the Midwest, they got a lot of fingers to them, and you can usually find a spot that's got a lot of tree line or something, give you a lee spot to land, and even in the worst of conditions.
And because, you know, I have a Cub.
Yeah.
And
we have a PA-11 also.
That's what I have, a PA-11. And I've often thought about putting it on floats and flying it from Seattle out here to Oshkosh for AirVenture.
Well, that'd be a challenge.
And I'm thinking that would be quite a challenge. And I know it's been done.
Well, the nice thing about your airplane and mine is they will run on boat gas.
Right, the smaller Continental motors.
Yes. Yeah. You can get STCs to put auto fuel in it. And, of course, boat gas is basically that. But, yeah, you just have to do a lot of planning you know, your stops need to be in consideration of headwinds, because you're not going to be very fast on floats. Mine cruises at 75 miles an hour on floats.
Okay, yeah, and 90 on wheels.
And so you got to, you know, plan your fuel stops to allow for a headwind so that you know. And then, too, you can almost always find a place to put a 3-gallon can or something like that just for emergencies, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, it's an interesting aspect, and I think float flying is a lot of fun. I do it probably not nowhere near the level that you do, but I would encourage any land plane pilot to add that experience to their
oh, I think
list
so.
Of ratings.
My wife flies too, and we actually both got our seaplane ratings together. We took a vacation, went to Florida, went to the Jack Brown's,
yeah,
of course,
mm-hmm.
And came home with an airplane.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother story we don't have time for, but anyway, that's how we got started. And of course they tell you at Jack Brown's, look, this is your learner's permit.
Right.
You do not know all the aspects of being safe in a seaplane. We've taught you the basics. Now go out and practice and get around people that have experience and ask questions.
Yeah. Well, and even more than that, it's the insurance community. I think uh-huh. that pretty much will regulate what you get to do after
yes.
you visit Jack Brown's. But you said vacation, and I think that's the key. If you can integrate something like that into a vacation,
yeah.
doing other things that you might want to do.
Oh, I highly recommend that course, and I'm sure there's others like it around the country, but it was the most fun and low-pressure rating you'll ever receive.
And it counts as a flight review.
Yeah, there's no written test other than what they give you. You know, there, but it's pretty minimal. It's not like a FAA 100-question test. And there's no pressure. It's like, you're going to do this till you get it right. We'll stick with it.
Yep, and then when you're ready, you take the flight exam, and it's
yep.
exactly what you've been doing.
Yep.
And, it's a no-brainer. It's a really great course. And there are lots of courses in this country. We're not going to only single out Jack Brown's, but Jack Brown's has probably done more seaplane ratings than any other place in the world.
They're great.
And, you know, they've got those 100 horsepower Cubs that have mm-hmm. plenty of power when the weather's warm down there. And they're practically at sea level. So they don't have a lot of performance issues, and their flight instructors are nice.
They got every kind of lake in the world.
Skinny girls
down there.
Yeah. So it's quite an experience, and like I said, it does count for a flight review. So you can kill two birds with one stone,
right,
so to speak. You know,
absolutely.
Actually three birds, because you've got vacation, you get the rating, and you're taking care of your flight review all at the same time. It's a great opportunity. And you can do that at other places, too. Up north, you can do a northern vacation and mix that in, and it's all as well. Actually, if you add any rating onto your certificate, that does count as a flight review. So this being a recreational one, which can be a lot of fun. A lot more fun than going out and doing your instrument rating or something. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you and sharing some of your experience here at the
Seaplane Base. We'd like to mention one more quick thing.
Okay, sure.
My wife and I are musicians, also in addition to being pilots, and we, as part of the flying musicians, are going to be providing the music for the watermelon feed today.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And we're all of our staff will be here, and we're looking forward to that. What kind of music are you going to play?
We play everything from opera to folk country.
Opera?
Yeah.
Okay. This is just one more reason, folks, that you need to get out into the seaplane base and experience that tonight.